Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and sitting across from me...
Ben Vanel, it's episode 118, and Nintendo is the cardboard queen, and I'm Bruce Springsteen.
Okay, also joining us, we have Adam Knox.
Cardboard queen's a lot cheaper than leather queen's, I can tell you that much.
What's a leather queen?
Is that like a leather daddy?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Okay. I thought you meant like a queen-sized leather couch.
What's a leather queen? The most confusing pair of words that I couldn't figure out given context. I couldn't figure out at a guess what those would mean. What do you think? It's a woman who whips you.
A leather queen. Okay. So it is like a leather daddy.
Yeah.
I thought I was making a joke. I thought a leather queen was like a leather couch.
What the fuck is wrong with the pair of you? Get out there and live a little.
Just because you're into some kinky fucking dominatrix shit, I'm not, and that's at the forefront of your mind at all times.
I've never done it. I've just read a book.
It doesn't matter if you have done it. I've never heard of it.
I've lived and I've learned. I wasn't in the Russian Revolution, but I know it happened.
When?
1915 or 1917, depending on which one you want to talk about. But there was 1905 was the Winter Palace. Anyway.
It's Rasputin here joining us.
Rasputin was dead by the time. But anyway.
Oh, you sound like a Russian.
I am.
And let's Russian to get to the start of the episode.
Vladimir Putin.
Folks, three men arguing about cardboard. That's what you have to look forward to coming up later in this episode.
Yes.
But there is other news, of course, for us to discuss.
Yeah, there's a few things that happened considering it's January.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Should we flag that once more we're recording in Tommy's bedroom? Different dynamic to the usual setup, I feel.
Is it?
Yeah.
I feel like this is pretty standard. Me just reclined right back on the old workbench.
Mm-hmm.
You guys sort of...
Awkwardly
looking up at me.
Yes.
How is this different from when we usually do it?
Well, firstly, I've just learned you call your bed the workbench.
That was a little audio treat there for the listeners. I was hoping that would go by without comment.
Yeah, I'm really not a fan of that. What's a leather queen? The workbench, the most.
And you'll notice I've left a pair of my smalls just sitting here on the bed for you two to just gaze longingly at.
What a small, underwear.
My undergarments.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what I sleep in, Adam.
I was confused because I definitely do not call mine smalls.
Couldn't put it together from context? You couldn't figure that out? Leather queen?
Where's your precious Russian Revolution now?
Half of things are small. They're either big or small. It could have been one of 50%
of the
world's things.
So you think the breakdown
things.
Of sizes in the world is 50% big, 50% small?
Comparatively, yes. There's got to be, I suppose, one thing that's medium.
What's the line? What's the one medium thing in the world?
Biggie smalls just make your brain explode? Is that...
The most medium thing in the world would, I guess, be like... A Labrador? Something around that sort of...
Okay.
That's probably about in the middle.
A Labrador is the... So it's like... It's like the Empire State Building.
Is it bigger than a Labrador?
And then in the middle of those two... in the middle of those two things is a Labrador.
Roughly.
See, I immediately went to like... Well, small's a Chihuahua and big's like a Great Dane.
Yeah.
Not Empire State Building.
But
that's
Empire...
Massive.
But... Like, there's so few Empire State Buildings.
That's the point.
That I don't think that it's got to be some kind of weighted scale. Nintendo. we'll get, because we'll probably end up talking about, obviously, immediately after recording last week, Nintendo. Is it Labo or Labo?
I think it's Labo.
I think it's Labo.
I think it's Labo.
Labo's here.
Did they say
Labo,
it?
Labo.
Someone must have said it in the trailer.
I don't remember hearing it, but I think I assumed it was Labo.
I swear I've read that it's Labo because you would think it would be Labo, and I remember thinking, wow, that's like the opposite of how you should say it.
Yeah, right.
I think I've heard someone say labo.
Because it's like a lab, like you make stuff in a lab.
Labrador.
I guess that kind of exactly.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. The labo controls the means of production. Who cares?
lot of Adam Knox bailing out of his bits that are of his own construction. This episode.
I think it's because I'm in your bedroom. I think it has.
I told you
the
it was a different dynamic.
Yeah. I'm worried you're gonna pick up one of these fucking guitars.
It is weird. There's 5 guitars hanging on the wall of my bedroom next to my platinum record that I received a few years ago.
Above the workbench.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a fireplace. I've never noticed that.
I know, but it's like, it sucks. It takes up room.
Yeah, it's too awkward to ever use that.
When I first moved in here, my mum came in here and said, "Oh, you're going to have any fires going in here?" What an insane question. Who would sit and chop up logs and just have a nice little fireplace going mere inches from their bed?
Abraham Lincoln.
Ever heard of him?
Someone told me it was illegal to actually use a lot of the fireplaces that are still in houses in Melbourne.
I would assume that they're all boarded up.
Yeah.
I don't think I think there's some other law. Again, like carbon emission, something.
Mm-hmm.
Some kind of, these are all too old and fucked. Never use them.
Fuck, now I do want to, if it's against the law, I really want to use it.
Fire party.
Just get some tires in there and just really smoke up a storm.
You can do some pretty lame shit here and be breaking, like.
I do. Have you not seen the collection of Amiibos?
Yeah.
If I were to let my cat out at my parents' house, that would be breaking the law. Because there's a bunch of endangered, not even endangered, just, you know, pretty wildlife.
Yeah. In your parents' house?
Outside of it, luckily.
Outside of it, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
If it was in my parents' house, that cat would be a nightmare for them.
So you've told us that information, which up until then we didn't know. So in a sense, you've effectively let the cat out of the bag. Your position on letting a cat out of a bag.
I can hear sirens.
that should have been illegal.
Where there's smoke, there's fire.
But so that labo, I don't feel comfortable saying labo, but I also think that it's labo.
Should we find out?
I don't feel comfortable saying labo because it sounds like you're about to say labia.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's, yeah.
Well, let's say labo.
Labo.
Nintendo. Labo.
Yeah.
Labo.
Do you want to come back around to this?
Yes, because that happened immediately after the episode last week, but there'll be a lot to say about that.
Yeah. It's weird. We've had a full week and yet we still haven't been able to learn the name of it properly.
Yes.
In reverse order of importance.
Ben, Adam, Tommy.
Miitomo is shutting down on the 9th of May.
Yes.
As the only person in the world who cares about that, Tommy, how do you feel?
Cares is a strong word. Cared would be more apt.
You've already separated. You've already given up on it.
That is weird. It hasn't been around for that. Oh, no, I guess it's like that'll be 2 years. You're still not that long to keep an app like that around for. Just over 2 years, right?
Is it really 2 years?
I think so.
I thought it was like, I guess it must have been. Yeah, because Mario Run came out at the end of 2016 and that was the second one.
Yeah.
Fuck, man. We are all going to die real soon.
Yeah. It definitely launched after we were doing this.
Yeah. I remember trying to look at it and immediately not giving a fuck.
Yeah.
I had a fun like couple of weeks on it because you could put your little character in poses and take photos and you could import stuff from your camera roll and make that the background.
Everyone kind of used it as like a fashion competition, right? Like,
yeah. That was kind of fun for about a week. But then all the stuff of doing all the questions and everything. I like the presentation of it and everything, but just boring.
Yeah, I just spent an evening kind of going, what's the point of this? Like, I genuinely can't figure out what.
It felt like them putting out the first draft of an app. Just them going, how do you make an app? And just fucking around with whatever and going, all right, well, we may as well put that out.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was, right? That is basically what their mission statement with it was.
Yeah, I guess so.
Right.
Like, it was more like, let's make a way to communicate on a mobile device that we would use in an app that has some other function as well, but it was just the communication bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very Nintendo to have an app that's all about communication on a phone and have it be way less limited than any of the other features on your standard phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
But way more limited.
Hmm?
More limited,
yes,
do you mean?
Sorry, more limited.
Yeah,
yes.
Right. So you mean the opposite of what you said, you fucking idiot.
Yes. Yes.
So I'm in a snipey mood today.
I did not sleep last night, and you know that.
Yeah, you had to like attach a whole bunch of stuff to your body.
I had to do a test for sleep apnea, so it's like a machine that you hook up to yourself. And I was covered in wires and had two big machines strapped to my chest. So they give you that, and then they go, anyway, just get a usual 8 hours like you always do.
Yeah.
Nah. Yeah. It should be an interesting time looking those results for the old eggheads in there at the sleep disorder clinic.
It seems like you scream, fuck, this is stupid a lot in your sleep. I've been meaning to kind of do one of those things, because I can't remember who this was, but somebody was telling me about like their dad or something was waking up 200 times a night.
Wow.
That's how apparently if you have like sleep apnea. Yeah. And I've snored from time to time. So I've been like... it only happens sometimes. It doesn't happen all the time.
It's happened every time we've been sharing a residence.
Well, that's so you mean to say you're not snoring constantly throughout the day? It's only sometimes that the snoring happens.
A maximum of 8 hours at night.
Knox walking down the street.
No, well, it happens. It used to happen when I drank.
Right.
Mm. And because it would relax you, and that's what does it is your jaw goes back or whatever and you start fucking up.
Right.
But... if you have the proper sleep apnea, you wake up like hundreds of times a night.
Yeah,
so you're not actually ever sleeping. You're like kind of down for 90 seconds.
Yeah. Oof. It's sort of like I'll remember in the morning waking up maybe 3 or 4 times throughout the night. And it's like though if you can remember that many, there's like shitloads more.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah. Anyway, look, this is an interesting thread. I can update the listeners when I get the results in.
Oh, absolutely.
Sleep report.
Yeah. Sleep report. Oh, nice. Not bad. Yeah. So, I didn't really get any sleep last night. And I got to say, I am busting for you guys to get the fuck out of my house so I can go to bed immediately.
Well, yeah, I've got bad news for you, because after this, you're going to be losing sleep over the fact that Anthem might be a make or break situation for BioWare.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
I'm sure that's something that's going to keep you up at night.
Absolutely.
Well, so this is like kind of a two-part thing, is that BioWare confirmed that they're in the process of making another Dragon Age game, which you liked the first one of them, right?
Yeah, only the first. There's been three and they've gotten worse.
I kind of didn't like the first one and then never played any the other two either. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're doing another.
Yeah.
Depending on, it seems like there was some report of internally it kind of Anthem, which
was this Kotaku's report that you read? Because, they spoke to a bunch of people working on the game or people who had spoken to people working on the game, all anonymous, who were all like, oh, this might not be great, and if it's not, we're all out of a job.
Wow. Yeah.
And Anthem, if anyone doesn't know, I guess, is their like half Mass Effect, half Destiny kind of jetpack.
Yeah. And it's an Xbox?
No, I think it's everything.
Is it really?
Everything.
Oh, okay.
It was, I think, revealed at the Xbox.
Right. That's where I got that
presentation,
idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It doesn't surprise me with the way that EA's been with like shutting down projects and entire fucking studios and like... They seem to have a very burn it all if it fucks up kind of attitude with that.
Yeah, if it looks like it could lose any money at any point, then it's cut, it's gone, it's done. Which sucks. Like, they've been buying studios in the past, 4 or 5 years and then just shutting them down. Like
Man, they are just... It seems like they are just desperate to have as much bad PR as possible.
Yeah.
They can't help themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Which you'd think, surely... Even if you're going in the short term, we need to make as much money as we can.
Mm.
You'll stop making money if no one buys your games ever because of how much they hate you. Surely.
Yes.
I think some of that... I went to say something then and just instead my body went, no, cough into the mic. I do think some of that EA stuff is overblown sometimes.
I mean, I know that they used to be like always named the most hated company in the world, like every year. And I don't really think I was fully on board with that. But all the stuff lately, it just seems like they're making bad decision after bad decision.
There are a lot of them. I liked Battlefront 2.
So do I, but they also made a lot of bad decisions.
Yeah, they got a lot of bad press off the back of what they decided to do.
Yeah.
It's true, but Even though that stuff was dodgy, I don't know how much I agree with the sort of fucking over-the-top anger that happens.
Sure, but I mean, they
sometimes.
Make bad decisions in a way where, like, those decisions that they made with Battlefront 2, like, you could easily predict that there would be a big backlash against that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you could easily see coming from a mile away, people are going to hate this and they're going to hate us for doing this.
People are going to see right through this transparent ploy to make more money.
Well, and their MO seems to have been push the envelope as far as it can go, or further than it can go.
Yeah.
Like, don't just find the line by stepping way the fuck over it.
Yes. Yeah.
And the fact that they fucked up so badly with Mass Effect Andromeda last year as well, that was kind of shitty. But Titanfall 2, I don't know. EA's just not something that's ever really massively been on my radar for most of their games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have like one a year that's good.
The fact that they, and who knows if they did this purely because they wanted to or because the development was going poorly, but cancelling that Star Wars game.
Yeah.
And yeah, fucking up Mass Effect as a franchise. And then like as much as I liked Battlefront 2 as a game, like just playing the game, you can't disagree that they did some really dodgy stuff with that. And I'm not like trying to burn down their headquarters. I just think...
Well, wait, what? Why would you even bring that up?
I mean, I wasn't like anywhere near them on the 12th of January at 6 p.m.
It's not like I've sent 5 to 7 threatening letters to their CEO. It's
I wouldn't even know where to get anthrax.
I'm not going to do it, but if I was going to do it, here's exactly how I would do it in explicit detail, step by step.
Look, OJ is my favorite guy. I think
I
he's
like
great.
Initials. I like EA and I like OJ.
Two people who keep fucking killing people who didn't deserve it or games. But like, it seems, yeah.
Or games. You had to qualify your metaphor.
Two equivalent
things. They did to Mass Effect what he did to Nicole.
Yes, yes.
I'll say it on this podcast. I think he's guilty. I think he did it.
Holy shit. That's what got Norm MacDonald fired from SNL.
Don't you dare edit this out.
It's a shitty thing to have people, even if it's not, like... It's one thing if their plan is kind of, hey, see how this goes and then we'll make a decision. Mm. But if everyone in that studio kind of knows that and feels that axe hanging above their head, that's super shitty.
Yeah.
That is not a good work environment.
So what? It sounds like this thing is just no good.
It's no good. It's that everything is riding on it. There's no indication of the quality of it.
Right.
And not even, it's not even about the quality of it when it comes out. It's about how... They want it to be one of probably, this is my assumption, one of those very unrealistic expectation type of sales things. You know, remember Rise of the Tomb Raider sold like 4 million and they were unhappy with that?
Yes.
Because they over-projected what it would be doing?
Right.
Yeah.
It sounds like that sort of a situation with this.
Right.
Yeah. And because of the kind of conflicting reports, some people were like, initially we thought maybe it was going to be a bad game, but now we're just worried that it's going to be a difficult development process.
Yeah.
It looks fucking boring to me, honestly.
It kind of sounds like, you're right, they're going to make this big projection and have these high expectations, probably not, like they're never going to be able to reach them. Mm. And then EA is just going to be able to happily go, look at the bottom line, and then just cut BioWare, just get rid of them.
Yeah,
and you're right. I don't think it looks like a very interesting game.
It doesn't look like anybody. It doesn't have an obvious idea that's happened before that game's shown up. It looks like just a Frankenstein of all these popular things at the moment.
I mean, the way they showed it off at E3 was very much like, here it is. Yeah. Are you guys ready? Yeah. And just watching it going, this is just looks like a bit, like you said, a bit of everything.
You know these four other games you like? What if you only had to buy one? It's one of those old like one-stop shop fucking junk stores.
Yes.
Like, do you want a kettle and some tires and a dog? And taxes done.
There you go.
And a pot plant and a bed and Tommy and a computer and a microphone and a leg.
It's some shop.
It looks like the classic like game by committee, like art by committee.
Yes. Yeah.
Totally watered down, no personality.
No one person's thing where they're like, this world that's been living in my head that I think is really interesting and cool. Like,
often the trick of great games is like they're all done by committee. Like they are all like a lot of the creative, you know, directions and designs and ideas are from a bunch of people. But games like even like Destiny, which isn't a perfect game, did really well and managed to have some kind of strong aesthetic and point, and did come out at a time where the idea behind it, which was this like co-op, persistent multiplayer experience, was kind of revolutionary. This doesn't have any of that.
Yeah, I think the goal of any good art is to be able to be so immersed in it that you can't see the strings, right? It a movie or whatever it is.
why puppeteering can never be a good art.
Yeah, but that's why Pinocchio ends on a really strong note.
Yeah.
That's why Punch and Judy Wii is such a shit game. Wait, they're little... What are they? They're puppets.
They're hand puppets.
They're hand puppets.
Yeah, they got no strings, baby.
Still, I I dare say that would be a shit game either way.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, if you can tell, oh yeah, some writer thought this is the sassy character. Someone sure. thought you needed this bit in there. Like it just falls apart and becomes uninteresting because you can see all the moving parts.
Totally. Yeah. And it does seem like that's kind of been with the other ones they've shut down. The only one I can remember off the top of my head is Westwood, who did Command and Conquer.
Oh yeah.
And that series, in a similar way to sort of the trajectory of what BioWare's done,
mm-hmm.
kind of kept going. They tried to do and it was just weaker and weaker, more diluted,
yeah,
more trying to ape other things rather than
doing like a version of their classic games with a mechanic just stuck on top.
Yeah, or like, oh, that fucking Dota thing's real big. How about we jam some of that in there?
Yeah, yeah.
And then when those things do poorly because of poor executive meddling, it seems like they go, you fucks, you wrecked it.
Yeah.
Which, good on them. I love capitalism, and I love the way that they enforce those doctrines.
But you've gone from being a Russian revolutionary and then espousing the values of communism.
Yep.
Don't forget the Labrador thing.
I never
that was in the mix too.
I'm working on my mail bit next. 100 flowers, more like 100 coins to get an extra life in Mario. Did it.
I liked it.
Yeah.
That was something else I saw. I didn't put in here, but apparently Destiny 2 is struggling a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now. You just said put in here.
I know.
No one listening knows what here is.
Yeah. I meant he this sentence.
He undid his fly and he pointed and he said, I didn't put it in here, but.
So it seems like people are kind of jumping off of that type of game anyway. The same with, like, mm-hmm. I guess the Division and Ghost Recon Wildlands and all those sort of things are similar games and people are a little more into them.
I think they have lent much more on, like, the pure co-op stuff, the like get a party together and go out and don't worry too much about the single player. Don't split your kind of development time and resources into all these areas, which I think Wildlands suffered from. But
yeah, I guess this must be the problem at the moment with games being such a huge money-making industry and, you know, all those stats, is that now predictions for everything would be so big.
Yeah.
Like projections for everything would just be on this immense scale, like everything has to be GTA 5 or it's an absolute failure.
Same as the Avengers in movies now, that sort of stuff. Like everything, because there are these outlier sort of things that do make these enormous amounts of money, when something that isn't really in any way geared towards that and everybody other than whatever executive is making it can tell that it's never going to live up to that.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's, the big thing in cinema is the disappearance of the medium or Labrador-sized films where they have a medium budget and they do fine, they make their money back, but they're not blockbusters.
Totally.
And they're not indie films that are made for $5 million.
Well, yeah, I mean, when we were in school, a blockbuster, you were lucky if you had one huge movie a year.
Yeah.
Like the scale of Gladiator stood out because it was the one for that year, and now it's like there's one of them every 2 months.
And nobody gives a shit about most of them. And I get the impression Anthem seems like the Dracula Untold of game, you know?
Sure,
like
just the Mummy. The Tom Cruise's The Mummy.
Exactly.
Van Helsing, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, even though they're trying to make one game that has four different games in it, like a Frankenstein, who would have been in the Monster Expanded universe.
Yeah, the Dark Universe.
This is so good.
I love it.
One game containing four different types of games may not be as important in the future because you'll be able to try all four different games if Microsoft adding new releases to their Game Pass thing is good.
Yes. Now, this is the previously announced, they're kind of, it's not something that's ever been done in games before, sort of a Netflix style model.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they've had it going for a little over a year, maybe, maybe about a year.
So you pay a fee and you get access to, a monthly fee, you get access to this entire back catalogue of old Xbox games.
Do you download to your console and play, or do you don't stream
You don't stream them.
Which is what PlayStation has. I think it's called PlayStation Go or something like that.
Now or Live or...
I think now.
You download... It's like you own it, but if you stop subscribing to this thing, then you won't be able to play it anymore.
Right.
They've got quite a lot of them there, but I haven't ever done it. I have an Xbox, but I had already played all of the games in it that I was really interested in.
Right. So is it... Currently, it's not a huge library?
It's got like 100 and something games, but a lot of the... I remember looking through it at some point quite a while ago and going like, you know.
Yeah. But all the ones you want to play, you've played already. Because you've had an Xbox for quite a while, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But their plan now is that all of their new first-party releases, which this year is like Sea of Thieves, Crackdown 3, ooh, Forza, I guess, stuff like right. that.
And right. there's one other one, I can't remember. But yeah,
yeah, they'll all be available on that thing day of release.
Day one.
Yeah, right.
That's huge.
Yeah. Mm.
That's crazy.
Potentially it is. Mm. I like the thing that worries me, it like, yes, it really could be, but Microsoft doesn't have the software lineup at the moment to software lineup.
Yes. Huh?
Listen to that industry talk. Listen to me coming up here giving my keynote.
It almost would have been impressive if you hadn't called it out immediately.
Nope, things are more impressive if you immediately brag. Watch this backflip, motherfuckers. Somebody calling me an ambulance.
I'm doing this presentation right, on PowerPoint. You guys probably don't even know what that is.
Let me just plug into this PowerPoint right now. And then one of those like chalk projectors comes
and
up.
And it's a fork that you're jamming.
Impressed?
Yeah, I think this is, like, already having this Games Pass thing, I think is such a great kind of, like, industry-leading thing for them to do. Like, there's no way that this doesn't end up being just the standard within a few years.
Yeah.
So the fact that they're already kind of leading the way with that is great and extremely impressive. And to throw this wild maneuver in there on top of that is it show I'll tell you what, it shows real chutzpah.
Real cojones.
Real balls.
I mean, look, gentlemen, I think I speak for all three of us when I say the stones on these guys.
Yes.
They're kind of backed into the sort of corner where they need something like this, and I think it's cool that they are aware of that and acting on it.
I've got one thing that I don't know if this is a completely, like, I'm just wrong. It's wrong to be concerned about this.
The earth is flat.
All right, I retract my comment. No, doesn't it seem like it's going to detract from the money that they can make from these games?
Definitely. Yeah, right? I would love to know what their internal, because nothing like this happens without a lot of breaking down of the finances and does it, and also does it perhaps devalue the games somewhat that they show up for free on a thing that you already have? You don't need to go buy them. Sure. You don't need to invest $70. It just is on your thing ready to go.
Yeah.
I mean, this is kind of part of the same thing as their worry about pre-owned stuff. Maybe that's something where if one person is going to play this game one time and then they would have sold it on.
Oh, yeah.
That's $10 or $15 they've made. And it's not three other people then buying that same game.
Sure.
So they're making that $10 or $15 off of three people and getting roughly the same thing.
And the other big obvious example is Netflix are doing it with movies, which also costs a lot to make.
Yeah.
And I'm paying $9 a month for it.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing new releases like Bright. But, you know, like I'm seeing, you know, yeah, like 500 movies or whatever.
They've had their more success with the TV series, I guess.
Sure.
And when that started, I kind of thought, this kind of devalues it because it's just shows up on this thing, all of them at the one time.
Sure.
You don't have to tune in. You can just rip through them in a weekend.
You can. I think they call it binge watching them.
Never heard of it.
Okay. It's like how you'd eat a lot of food at one time or drink a lot of beers at one time.
Ah, now you're talking my language.
Yeah, baby.
But yeah, it hasn't been the case. Like I sort of thought, oh, this is going to mean no one gives a fuck about any of the stuff that shows up on here. And it's proven to just absolutely be not the case.
Yeah.
I would guess that maybe their thinking is something along the lines of if maybe having the new game on there on day one may inspire people to sign up for it because they go, oh, well, I can just get it now for $15 by doing this thing.
Sure.
And then maybe they stick around for a few months after that. And even if they drop off, they've still ended up getting the same amount of money that they would have gotten from a sale of the game new in the store.
Yep.
Because those old games being on there is sort of costing them nothing.
Yes.
Well, and this is
and all that stuff.
Yeah.
This is only their first party games that they're doing that with.
Yep.
So this year, with what we know exists at this point, that's like five games.
Yep.
So that's a total of five times, I guess, 60 US, let's say, for the sake of argument, and it's 10 US there.
Yeah, yeah.
So the chances that someone would have bought all five of that, they're probably not actually losing. If someone signs up for the whole year, there's probably not that big of a difference in what they would have made.
Yeah, I think it has to be true. Like, otherwise they wouldn't be doing it.
Well, and also for them right now, the question of, like, will these which purchases are we losing? The answer is 75% of the entire video games market.
Sure.
Because
anyway,
nobody's got an Xbox.
Yeah.
Not nobody, but it's
yeah, and I mean the difference is when you compare it to Netflix is that, you know, Netflix, that's you know, you hear all this stuff about whatever, House of Cards or whatever. Yep. Fuck, you know what? I was about to say Master of None, and then I went, don't name something with someone who's accused of bad stuff in there. Quick, House of Cards. Oh, God. The Cosby Show's on
right,
there.
Right.
Or what? Like, so if you go, oh, I've heard so much great stuff about Orange is the New Black.
There you go.
This is the only way I can see it. I guess I've just got to sign up to Netflix. The difference with this is, well, you do have the option of just going and getting the game secondhand instead of signing up to this thing.
Sure.
In order to get it. Sure. So, but, I mean, yeah, like, I think they're to be, you're right, they've kind of backed into a corner and have to do something like this, but they are to be commended for taking this. I mean, yeah, it sort of seems like they're the canary down the coal mine where they might take a hit and it might not potentially work out in the way that they think it will, but it's someone's got to do it because it's definitely the way things are going.
That's true. And that's, yeah, I think that's all they've got really at the moment that is market leading. Like,
yeah.
And it kind of feels silly because the more I think about it.
The Xbox One X is technically powerful.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
And the way that you could, when you, a lot of their games are cross-buy and you can play them on PC and Xbox. That's also, they've got cool, like the Xbox is cool. Microsoft are okay. They just, they don't have a lot of games this year.
I guess that's it.
Yeah.
I guess that's it. And when I think about signing up to a games library, I want it to be the better library.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to wonder if they had 5 games that were going to be guaranteed absolute blockbusters.
Yeah.
Would they be bothering to do this?
Sony isn't.
Perhaps not.
You know,
yeah.
Nintendo fucking isn't. Because like their thing is still the looming, like, hey, we're going to start charging you for the online soon, but we haven't gotten our shit together yet.
We're yet to say anything about it. Yeah.
We said at some point it'll start early, like January 2018.
Yeah.
It's the 24th and we're still, we haven't figured out what fucking... And
they just haven't done it. I just think they know that if they do it now, no one's going to do it because it's,
but then
they
how
haven't proven that it's going to be
what happens
good.
With their back catalogue on the Switch, like, is it, hey, give us 10 more fucking dollars for an NES game? No.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to do that, Shigeru. Yeah.
I mean, they their eShop current, like, their current library of games for the Switch, there's not a lot of good ones, and they're new. Like, there's a lot of iPad games.
Yeah.
And then I honestly think there's, like, 5 or 6 games, which, look, like, how long has it been out for? 8 months? 6 months? Something like that?
Nearly a year.
The Switch,
right.
A year in March.
Yeah. 10. And, so there should be more good games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool. And, yeah, maybe things will start to transition towards this as just because everything else is starting to use this model, Spotify and
You
Netflix
don't
want to
be the company that doesn't do it.
Yeah.
If it's
becoming
the trend.
But who knows if this will – because I really feel like they've been pushing it quite hard over the last few months with what they have. And I just don't see people talking about it much.
Yeah.
I've never bothered to use it.
Well, this story...
They're giving away a lot of those free months.
Right. I hadn't... If I'd heard of it, I don't remember hearing about it. This story is making me hear about it again at least.
Yeah.
Mm.
And if the games were better, I probably would get an Xbox and do it.
Sea of Thieves might be good.
Yeah, but it might not.
Yeah. And I think Crackdown almost definitely won't, and we can't remember what the third one was.
Yeah.
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 So, but it's really cool conceptually, and Microsoft also at the same time is actively apparently hunting for people to make them games that people will care about.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think the big thing that hangs over it is, and this is in contrast to what we were saying about EA, is that it's a move that has been done in service of the people playing the games. It's like, hey, people would love this.
Yes.
This would be attractive. Like, people want to play games. Let's do this nice thing and give people these games as part of the package, when a lot of, you know, like we're saying with EA, a lot of what they do seems to be in direct opposition to what people definitely want to do when they play. So I think it's to be applauded for
totally.
That.
Oh, it is good.
Absolutely. And like, again, like another industry parallel, the people in the music industry who got on this early are the ones that succeeded. Streaming companies, you know, boomed, and, you know, record companies or, you know, like retail stores.
Mm.
Had gone.
Yeah, but the problem is the people that make the albums are now making no money from the albums.
Sure.
So there's not an equivalent of that in games where you can go, ah, we'll just tour. We'll just take we'll just take Super Mario Odyssey on the road and we'll make the money back out there doing it in the clubs.
Yeah, and then
so if people aren't buying if they're not making the money from the thing, well, then the thing just isn't going to exist anymore.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then do you do more microtransactions after the fact to make your money?
That's an interesting thing as well. Like, if you have a game in this thing and then DLC comes out for it, what happens then?
It might become like the App Store where everything's free with a streaming service, but you pay in-app. $10 to...
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Purposes, yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows? But it's exciting. But at the moment, the Xbox is the cheapest way to play video games at the moment.
Yeah.
Right. If you got an Xbox and subscribe to this thing, you've got like 100 games for about $250.
Sure. And the cheapest Xbox One is that the cheapest console at the moment as well? Yeah. So if you want to become a gamer now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like my Xbox.
I got it when I got it because it was the cheaper option as well. Yeah. And it was perfectly fine. I just also got a PlayStation 4 and it has a better game library.
Yeah, I mean, there's enough stuff on there, even in that back library, that is tempting to go in on that I've kind of considered getting one. But as we've discussed a lot recently, there's so much to keep up with as it is.
The 360 backwards compatibility stuff is cool as well.
Yeah, you can
there's
play
a lot
Red
of that
Redemption
in the Game Pass.
I almost have considered getting one just to play Red Dead again.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'll wait until the sequel comes out.
Yeah.
Well,
all right, so stop fucking emailing us and saying that we just shit on Microsoft all the time. Sick of hearing that.
If you want to play Red Dead, or if you want to play another cowboy game one day in the future, but you don't like the lack of tactile feedback that you get from a controller rumbling around, even in HD, that's not enough.
Okay.
Maybe you want to be a cowboy by putting on a little cardboard cowboy hat, a little cardboard whip, cardboard horse.
Cardboard whip?
Yeah, I'm putting on a cardboard whip.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a leather queen, right.
And, well, you can hang it off your hip is how I was imagining
it. I plan to.
Anyway, yeah, then you can ride off into the sunset with Nintendo Labo.
All right, let's reach a consensus on how we're going to pronounce it moving forward.
You know what?
Let's just say Labo.
I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, I'm fine with saying.
While we're doing this. Now that we've made the decision, I'm going to look it up while you guys talk.
But Labo, like I said, Labo sounds like labia.
Yeah, but
Labo sounds like Lebo.
Yeah, exactly.
Slang for Lebanese people.
And take away the L and it's worse.
Oh my God.
Right? I was about to stop you from saying it.
I'm so woke that it took me a few seconds to work out what you were even getting at.
Yeah. So I don't like Labo.
Let's just call it Nintendo Cardboard Box.
Yeah, let's just
I would have so much more respect for this project if they had just called it that.
Yeah. God damn it. It's all fucking think pieces. There's nothing here about how to... Labo. Labo.
Labo?
Labo.
As in... Lab / laboratory US pronunciation.
We got from the worst possible option to the wokest.
Labo.
Well, at least we're moving on up.
It means like labo, like how they'd say lab in America. So it's labo. Nintendo Labo.
Okay.
Lab. It's a laboratory. A cardboard laboratory.
I would like to know how many of our listeners predicted that this is what we would be focusing on when we talked about this.
Yeah.
If you can look us honestly in the eye and say, I knew this is what 15% of this episode would be, then write in. We're going to have to operate on the honor system.
Totally.
But hey, happy to hear it.
Yeah, we'll send you a piece of cardboard as a prize.
What about Nintendo Labo? Sort of like a French actor.
Yeah.
No, Labo. It's Labo.
Let's just say Labo.
For those of you who didn't see this, it's how the fuck do you describe it?
Well, okay, so this, we put our episode up and then like that night they tweeted saying, tune in tomorrow morning for a presentation about an experience that we're doing for kids and the young at heart.
Yes.
And the internet goes wild and people start going, virtual console.
Yeah.
Now, how does virtual console fit into any of those parameters in any way?
Well, look, kid and kid at heart does describe anyone who loves Nintendo.
Yes. So one could argue video games in general.
So it could be anything.
Yeah.
It could be anything.
People went VR. I don't see how that's...
Yeah.
Also keeping in mind that they had done a direct the week before and not mentioned it in that. So why would they, like, they go, whoops, we forgot to put the VR bit in there.
Yeah. But then you could argue, like, why would it be anything?
Sure.
Like wow, they could have talked about...
That is deep.
They could have talked about Labo in the previous direct. And made it a non-mini, but yeah.
So what this is, it's two separate sets that is a...
I think it's several. There's two at launch.
Two at launch. Yes. And I think the idea is that there'll be more over time. Because there are ones shown off in this trailer that aren't included in the first pack.
Yeah.
But it's basically a game that comes with a set of craft materials, mm-hmm. mostly cardboard, but some string and rubber bands and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
And you assemble basically a little case for the Switch screen and Joy-Cons to sit in different kind of configurations.
Yeah, yeah, and it depends on which one, where, like, where, because for the robot thing, the Switch is in the dock.
Yeah.
For example. Yeah, for, yeah. So the Switch and the controllers go in different places, but you're making little cardboard 3D structures that kind of look like those old, like, Fisher-Price little steering yep. wheels yep. or a little house, or there's a little robot that walks around.
Little piano.
Little piano.
Yeah.
They look like they're pretty well designed.
Sure.
In terms of just like, it kind of looks like handlebars.
Yes.
Yeah.
But they're kind of clever looking. Like, there's lots of little contraptions and gizmos. People immediately started going, oh, this is going to take ages to set up and build. I'm going to have to build a fucking cardboard box.
Which is obviously
50% of the fun of this.
I think that's the point. That's absolutely the point.
Exactly.
I love the satisfaction that you get from assembling successfully some IKEA furniture.
Yeah, sure.
I almost want to just make these little models and then never use the games that are connected to them.
I was very negative on it early in that I don't see how I'll ever use it, and I was very much like, I don't see how it's like worth it for anyone. Surely it's just this is overpriced cardboard. And I when I think about what I would do with it, the building would be the fun part.
The building, yeah.
I don't see myself then grabbing a cardboard fishing rod and having a little little fish
every single day.
Yeah.
So apparently the piano takes like 2 hours to make or something like that. They are really intricate.
the piano especially, and
I mean, it makes sense.
The robot pack.
And when I was watching the trailer, it sort of starts very simply with someone just kind of like folding up a little box and then putting a Joy-Con in that. And then as it gets more intricate, like the fishing rod is like, it's like it's retractable and it's got a bit of rope coming off it and it's got like an actual crank and everything.
Yeah.
And I sort of thought, oh, this is like creative license where it's just like, you know, an ad where the product looks nothing like it.
Yeah,
and
then like
you
get the to Wii the
end,
U.
It's like, no, basically. You actually, exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you get to the end and it's like, oh, no, you actually, this is actually what this thing looks like that comes in the box.
Yeah.
So I think that's pretty cool that it wasn't just a kind of a heightened like,
sure.
Hey, you know, if you use your imagination, it's like this.
Yeah.
It actually is.
These are actual things that they're. Yeah. And so it's like $70 US.
Didn't we look this up? It's like 100 and 120 here?
Yeah, it's 100 and 120 like for the So there's been a lot of stuff online of people going $100 for cardboard. There's a game pack in there.
Yeah.
Like it's trumped up.
Well, so this
it's $40 for cardboard.
This is why I was going to use the US one, because I know the prices on that for the cardboard things. If you were to just buy each of the packs, it's like $10 for the variety thing and $20 for the robot.
Oh, right, okay.
So the cardboard is still like $10, but that's kind of
fine for cardboard.
The other option that you have is apparently they'll be putting up the blueprints for them like on a piece of paper. So
oh,
you can cut that out. And if you have your own cardboard, you can cut out based on the stencils, essentially.
Which makes this much more of a thing for me, from my perspective, of just like, oh, cool, that's something I'll never engage with.
Well, I think it's worth pointing out that the way that they've marketed this and what they're going for with it is, like, I think it's cool. I'm probably not going to get it. I will not get it.
That's such a troubling perspective to have, because then it's like,
well, because it's not for me. Like, I think the whole idea of this is, and I don't even think it's something that they're directly, it's for kids, but I don't think they're even directly marketing it at kids. I think the idea is a parent kind of who's got a kid that's not quite yet into games, getting it so that it can have a fun afternoon with making this stuff and you can color it in. And then at the end, it's like, check out this cool, now we're like riding the motorbike.
Yeah.
Like, well, I think that's the whole thing that it's meant to be.
That's the key thing there as well, is that I think you and I are similar in that neither of us are into craft.
Like, I like building stuff and I would maybe enjoy that stuff. Like, I like Lego, which is not craft. It's like, you know, it's construction.
Yeah.
I'm just not into craft. And then maybe it's just the fact that even if I looked at it trying to be objective and still think it's like, well, isn't that a waste of money? Isn't it going to break? Isn't it like,
yeah,
but maybe these things just not relevant.
No, I think, this is like, it's different. I think it's almost not a video game.
Oh, totally. Yeah. It's clearly they're trying. Well, and on the packaging and everything, it's labeled as toy kit
Yeah.
Like
Toy-Cons.
Toy-Cons, yeah. I think one thing I think is really cool about it is that if you actually look at the way that the tech is working in it is really impressive.
Yes.
So the piano, you've got your two Joy-Cons sitting in either side, and then when you hit a key, it's moving strings.
Yep.
And the Joy-Con can detect how far away, like it can detect distance of things.
Yeah.
So like that sort of stuff is, that's really impressive.
It's great.
Like that's really cool.
It makes you wonder why they didn't do something like better with it almost. But I guess you got to start somewhere.
I mean, I think this looks super cool as well. It reminds me of like those old Lego designer Technic sets where you had the little programmable box.
Yeah.
Because apparently there's something suggesting, and they haven't said this, I don't think, but that you're going to be able to program your own little
games that's kind of hinted at in the trailer. Like to me, I like I said, I kind of view this as a thing for like, a parent to put together with their kid. I think it looks, I mean, who knows if it'll translate. I mean, the games, the games, quote unquote, that are featured in this all look really simplistic and superfluous. Like, I think they're just little kind of dumb experiences. I don't think there's going to be, I don't think they're thinking that any 25-year-olds are going to get this and absolutely, I mean, some will as a bonus, but, and just the way that it's been, the timing of how they kind of released it as well, like the fact that it's its own separate thing, they didn't announce it in a Nintendo Direct.
Yeah.
Like if they, if this had been in a big Direct, if this had been at E3, I would hate it because I would read it like, oh, fucking hell, they're putting all their eggs in this fucking cardboard basket.
Right. Yes.
But I think they're trying to be very clear about like, someone in there has just had a weird idea and they've gone, fuck it, let's, it's cardboard. It's so low risk. Like, someone's just have a crack.
Woken up for like the 134th time in the night and gone, oh, cardboard.
Hey, look, you know what? I got a bit of a taste of it last night having to assemble that sleep machine by myself for an hour. And then I got a very boring experience that wasn't challenge. Well, I mean, trying to get to sleep was a bit of a challenge. Yes. But I feel like I kind of had a bit of it last night.
Yeah, and you got to turn your bed into a race car, which is fun.
That was fun. I got to race as far away from a comfortable sleep as I possibly could.
I mean, I'll say, like, a few people at work have kind of come past and be like, hey, what do you think about this Nintendo cardboard thing?
And you work at Nintendo, it's worth pointing out.
That's right.
Out. Yeah. I've you're my uncle and you work at Nintendo.
It's fucking stupid and get away from me. No, but like people who are not as much of a gamer as me but who have kind of seen it in, you know, online or whatever. And I've been like, oh, you know, it's this interesting thing where it's this – and they've been much more negative on it than me. They've just been like – it seems really stupid. That's the tone of the conversation.
It's a toy though.
It is a toy.
It's specifically a stupid toy. Like it's meant to be a silly, goofy toy.
It is. If Sony did the exact same thing, we'd be going, what the fuck are you doing, Sony? You make video games.
I think they kind of have. Like, that's you and all that sort of stuff.
That's me.
You're Sony.
You know that fucking game they tried to push, that's you.
Yeah.
All that sort of stuff, like Buzz back in the day. Donkey Konga.
Yeah.
This is in that lineage of stuff.
Yeah, sure.
Where like most of the time people just ignore it and forget about it, but because Nintendo's had this big public massive explosion of like, whoa, what's Nintendo up to?
Yeah.
This seems like them taking a misstep, but it's not. It's
I just
a different
think that the way they've announced it and everything, I really think it's them trying to be very clear with the message of like, this isn't getting in the way of us making big, good single player games.
Sure.
This is just us having a go at this little toy thing.
And Knox made a funny expression there, and that's because they haven't made enough great big single player games.
Sure. But the fact that they announced it and then...
they had Zelda and Mario last year and they were great.
And that buys them a lot of goodwill because Zelda, at least in my opinion, is like one of the best games of all time.
Yeah.
So that's fair. That's fair.
I mean, like I said, I just think the way that they announced it outside of a Direct, outside of E3 or anything like that, they just kind of overnight just rolled it out. I think that's very clearly them going, this isn't at the expense of anything else that we're doing. They might still have nothing else going on.
No.
We don't know.
Sure.
But I don't think, like, for me, I would rather them do this weird thing off on the side and just keep doing other stuff that they're doing than the Wii approach, which was dozens and dozens of everyone can play games that are sort of shitty and watered down and don't have much going on.
I agree, and I think that this is fine. And like you say, it's totally separate from Nintendo being what people want, you know, classic Nintendo to be. But the thing that makes me concerned isn't anything to... I think it looks fun. I think it's a really cool idea. 1-2 Switch fucking sucked.
Yeah.
And sure. Nintendo Land wasn't great before that. I thought all the...
I thought Nintendo Land was really good.
All the things that they've sort of done in this stable of things,
yep.
I don't think have been great for a while.
Yeah,
I wasn't right. ever really into Wii Sports. I thought that was really fucking shallow and like gimmicky.
But that was the thing. You can't say that wasn't a success because that alone sold the Wii.
Totally. I'm only talking about in terms of what I will perceive the quality of it to be.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. It's going to be... It's going to be really interesting. Like, I think, like, if I had a kid, I'd think this was a cool thing, but maybe it comes out and no one gives a fuck because I do sort of think, like, okay, you have this fun few hours making the cardboard stuff and then you know, there's a little game that you can play at the end of it. Cool. But are you going to revisit it that often?
Right.
And do you maybe need to revisit enough? It, though?
I mean, Lego is like you have the fun of building it and then it just sits there and it's like, cool, this is a model of a thing that doesn't really look like the real thing.
Hey, Meso.
Hey, guys.
Oh, Meso.
What are you doing?
I'm
going
to pick something up.
Do you want your bag? Yeah, I'll come get you. So does it then just sit on a shelf unused? And is that an unreasonable amount to pay for something that you get the fun of setting up with a few hours and then never go back to?
And to play devil's advocate, if they're going to introduce user-built games, user-generated content, then... Maybe it doesn't matter. You just go down to, you know, Officeworks and get a sheet of cardboard for 50 cents and you play this new game that's been uploaded and it's all part of the experience.
There'll be so many dildo games. If people are allowed to make their own things, there'll be so many just like fucking bullshit piano cat things for the piano.
Thought of that idea that you can program stuff into it.
If that is the case, would be fucking awesome. If they made fucking Little Big Planet with cardboard...
Yeah.
I think that would be super fucking cool.
Yeah.
I think what would be cool, and I've kind of thought this for ages about the Switch, that it's so, because of the way it all disconnects, it so does lend itself to having peripherals attached to it in these weird ways. And I was kind of wondering if we'd ever see that. And I guess this to me almost kind of seems like it's a bit of a way of testing the waters of like, well, if they brought something like this out and it was all plastic peripherals, it would cost $400.
Right.
So with the cardboard thing, they maybe just get to see what people like. And if people end up loving the motorbike thing, well, then maybe they go, cool, well, we'll bring out a little plastic motorbike attachment for Mario Kart.
Yeah, that would be awful. Yeah. That's where I would cardboard for 10 minutes of like, oh, that's cool, I built that, is cool. But like if it was, hey, play through Metroid with this cardboard gun on your arm,
right?
I would feel like a fuckwit.
Or the other side of it where, like you got a table tennis like bat attachment for the Wii, which became disposable in about 6 months.
Yeah.
At least this way it starts off disposable.
Yeah, exactly. It's better for the dolphins.
Sure.
Yeah.
You fucking them dolphins with that controller.
I've seen The Shape of Water.
Ooh.
It's out pretty soon. Like there's not a heap of lead time between announce and bringing it out, which is interesting, I think.
Yeah.
It might be a massive flop. I love that thing heaps of companies do this where they go set one and set two. It's like you are really gearing up for a long lifespan, aren't you? Yep. It's like I love the idea that in 2 years it's like, are we ever going to get 3 and 4 or did you sort of decide that that wasn't really worthwhile?
Again, Dracula Untold. One of the worst. I think it looks fun and I think they seem to understand how goofy of an idea it is temporary and like, fun of a thing it should be.
My thing is like I completely agree that it's like a really, really interesting and innovative idea, but I always like jump straight to the like, yeah, but like in the concrete, you know, way, how is it going to work? How is it not going to work? Mm. And do I care? And I think maybe I just don't care.
Yeah,
that's fine because you know what? Like I feel that similar-ish things to this have come out a bunch of times over the last sort of couple of decades.
Sure.
Yeah.
In like dance mats and whatever.
The Wii Fitness and stuff.
But it's not generally Nintendo making them or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's some third-party thing where you're like, yeah, I guess you can make your fucking weird drawing board.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool. Everybody should bloody go buy one.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Not for me, but looks...
Yeah.
But no, buy one anyway. Like a neat idea. Because you've got to buy every video game because I mean, you play them.
I'm not going to buy one. I won't resort to?
That's been the strength, because there have been a number of things I've seen of people going like, oh, I can't believe I'm being forced to buy this thing for kids.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, motherfucker, how many Barbies do you own? You're not being forced to buy it.
Yeah.
I've boycotted all cardboard from my life. And I will not. I went to get a coffee. I was like, you got to put it in a plastic cup.
Yeah. Tell you what, it's the first game where the bloody box they ship it in is part of the game.
But that's what's so, like, that is...
No,
like,
reaction to that.
Such the common trope of, like, oh, you buy your kids or your dog a toy and they're more interested in the box.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Do you reckon someone just saying that in the office was the germ of this idea?
Yeah. Wait a minute.
Like, I would love to know what conversation in the office sparked this off.
Yeah.
Because it is, whether it's good or bad or not, good or bad or not, it is a fucking... insane idea.
And as we all know, that's how all ideas come about. Somebody says something they think is unrelated, then they go, what did you just say? Say that again.
And then they turn around to a whiteboard and start scribbling on it.
You'll never be a game designer. Your ideas are about as fun as a cardboard box.
Wait a minute.
Wait, say that again?
Someone give me a napkin and a piece of pen.
Give me a bullet and a single bullet and a gun. A bullet and a single gun.
Open to whatever number of bullets, yeah. But it has to just be one gun. Single gun.
I think it looks fun and I'm interested to try it. Like, I think we're all going to try it for the purposes of this.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I wouldn't have if it weren't for this.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Not for us, but that's okay.
I'm very contradictory. I want to try it, but I don't want to get it.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I don't want to have it. I want to, yeah.
Great thing is you don't have to feel bad about throwing it away afterwards. The cardboard, at least.
Well, not if you put it in the wrong bin.
Yes.
Are they going to sell this digitally? Like, can you buy this on the eShop and then just make your own cardboard
and
stuff?
And then just get the...
Oh,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, maybe.
I thought you meant buy cardboard digitally, and I was going to have to break it to you that that's physically impossible.
3D printing?
2D.
Oh, what about that? Yes. Somebody's going to make, like, 3D printed versions of each of these cardboard things.
Yes.
And sell them. Like, do you want the plastic fishing rod? You can buy it off of eBay for $10.
But that defeats the fun of putting it together.
Oh, fuck, man. Yeah. I'm going to Thailand in June. I really hope there's knockoff cardboard over there.
There will be.
Yes.
People made so much of that shit for the Wii. There were so many little plastic
third
dumb
party.
Things for every single
it'll be,
game.
It'll be Nintendo Card Brad.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. What's up? I'm Card Brad. Nice to be here.
Mate, Adam, did you ever make paper?
I could be a motorbike or a fishing rod. I'll be whatever you want.
Did you ever make recycled paper when you're at school?
Make recycled paper.
Oh, yeah,
paper.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, it's so dense. Like, it's like so thick and you can't write on it because it's all jagged and fucked. Yeah.
Like, you pulped it and made it all yourself.
Yeah, what do you make it with?
I never did
was
that.
It newspaper
it's like,
or something?
Yeah, that's the thing I could never get on board with. I'm like, we've already got paper. We're just throwing paper into some fucking clag and going, look what we made.
Yeah, exactly.
We made wine once at my school.
Did you?
Oh. Yeah.
Did you summer in France? Is that?
No, we just had a viticulture course at my school. And I went, I'll try that. And then went, this sucks.
Viticulture sucks, but video games.
Well, we've got a few people who've written to us about video games as well. You want to hear that?
No.
Well, that's good because Gmail is not a fantastic app.
Wow. I got my wish.
Tried to buy some time with that sweet question about whether he wanted to read it.
Yeah. I got a couple of emails here. This first one is from Kate. She wrote in a long email, blah, blah, blah. You guys are the best. about Inner Space. This is another one. You mentioned before the number of fucking
shovelware iPad things. Games on the Switch. Yeah.
This is one of them, and she wrote a pretty good review, I thought, of it, and I thought I'd just read it out so that we don't have to do the legwork with Inner Space.
Sure.
So this is Kate, the fifth Beatle, writing it about Inner Space. I bought Inner Space the other day, and I'm so mad at it that I wanted to write and show you my appreciation for all your hard work by warning you off it. It's an exploration game set in an inverted world. Gravity pushes out, so it's like being in a fishbowl, and it's supposed to be a meditative, relaxing experience. ... It's not.
Oh.
The flight...
She had me there. Yeah. She had me going.
Very good storytelling.
The flight controls are terrible, especially in tight spaces. Hitting off a wall in a tunnel results in a downward spiral of smashing noises, glitching walls, and a complete loss of control over the craft. My shoulders are tense and sore from wrestling with the controls. ... I am not relaxed.
Fuck. She's gotten me again.
Yeah, I'm not relaxed either. I'm on the edge of my seat.
These ellipses.
I think next time I see these three dots, my ears are going to prick up.
Okay.
I won't be fooled like this again.
Well, yeah. I'll tell you, there's one more coming up later on. There is very little direction, and the washed out pastel colors mean almost everything blends together, making it difficult to see what you need to do or where you need to go. The inverted worlds appear big at first, but are far too small and empty to support much aimless wandering, so it's easy to get frustrated by the lack of progress. What little story there is, I didn't find compelling enough to push me through the gameplay issues, so after a solid 2 days play, Tommy, that's how it's done, I quit. Also, flying in a fishbowl world was giving me vertigo. I went in thinking it might be a switchy No Man's Sky. The cover art is very reminiscent of it, but it's useless. Well, I thought so anyway. Thanks again for a great podcast. Thanks again.
Very good.
She spelled that wrong. Thanks again for a great podcast, guys, and go easy on the Irish ... close brackets.
What?
She opened brackets with "and go easy on the Irish."
Oh, okay.
Kate from Dublin.
Wait, so there was nothing after the ...
There was a close brackets.
She it's really like,
go easy on the Irish.
She switched up the format there.
That's true. Yeah.
I thought that was a well written. That gave me a real sense of
thank you, Kate, for warning us off a game that none of us was in danger of ever playing.
Oh, I think I might have been in slight danger, but yeah.
Especially over this last month when not much stuff has been coming out, that Switch eShop has been looking more and more like maybe I'll try this random fucking thing.
Oh, we should say pretty much this week, it's on, isn't it? Oh,
tomorrow, yeah.
It's the drought, the dam is busted.
Yes, the drought is broken.
It's a public holiday in Australia tomorrow, for better or worse. And there's
let's say worse.
Yeah. Worse.
You know, we're not the ABC. We can just make a call. We don't have to sit on the fence here.
No, I need to be fair and balanced. I'm light skinned and standing on top of a pole.
Harvey Danger himself.
Monster Hunter World and Dragon Ball FighterZ will probably be out by the time a lot of you are listening to this. Mm-hmm. We'll be talking about them next week. But yeah, and then
so they come out tomorrow here, but nothing's open, right?
I
remember I looked it up. JB Hi-Fi is open.
Oh, they have in fact done it again.
Unfortunately,
stood in direct defiance of Australia Day.
Yeah,
I'm going on a bloody holiday with my fucking girlfriend though, so I'm not gonna get
where
to
are you
play
going?
Them. I'm not gonna. I thought about saying it, but then I'm like, what if somebody shows up
in the town?
Well, no, because we're going to one specific place. We're only going away for a couple of days, and like, there's one specific place where I'm mainly looking forward to going. Let's just say it's a house in which is a lot of parliamenting gets done. What a cool holiday. We're going to Parliament House.
Oh, you're going to the circus.
I was looking forward to doing one of those bloody goodbye girlfriend, you know, holding up the video game post, but instead it's goodbye video games. Hello.
Real life, brother.
This CIA black spot we're going to that I'm not allowed to mention.
Mm-hmm.
But that will actually be fun. But yeah, we'll talk about them.
Yeah.
Will you tell me and Ben off mic after we record, where are you going?
You're the people I'm concerned about.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Well, why don't we cover our ears and you just tell the listeners direct so then we won't find out.
Let's do that. And when I edit the episode, I'll block my ears then as well.
Okay. All right. I'm going to Ben and Tommy go fuck yourselves. So, I don't know why I'm so secretive with everything.
I know.
Think it's probably some sort
of trauma. That's a question I've got as well.
Anyway.
If only you could open up and reveal the reason why you were so secretive.
This next email we need to wrap up soon, but this last email here comes in from Lewis. He's got two questions here. We'll get around to them. The first one I think we can pretty quickly answer. What would be your solution to the microtransaction crisis?
Stop doing them.
I'm with Ben.
I think more of them until we all get to learn to love it.
More cardboard.
And the other question, I thought this was interesting. Thank you very much for your email, by the way, Lewis. We read the whole thing.
Yes.
Do you think there are any crossover games that could work better than the failed attempts of the past, like Mortal Kombat versus DC? Basically, who would you like to see mashed up together?
Yeah, but I love his question. Is there anything that could work better than this thing that failed? I dare say, quite possibly.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Nintendo Labo has a better chance.
The crossover of cardboard and bad video game, more than likely.
Even calling it a bad video game seems like an affront to video games. Like, you know.
Yeah, it's the bad use of a video game. Yeah. Like it's
bad use of a screen and a console.
Yes. Well, Mario and Rabbids is one that bucks the trend like that.
Yeah.
And even like, it's not like two great properties combined in that. It's one great property and Rabbids.
And Mario, yeah.
You should have been quicker, Nux. I stepped on your joke.
I couldn't be bothered.
By finishing my sentence.
That did actually work weirdly well. I would really like to see one that, like, one day in the future everybody in the sort of way that like Marvel and Fox does. I guess it's when one has to get monolithic and massive enough.
Yeah,
because sure. It's Disney. But to have like, you know, Master Chief punching Crash Bandicoot in a Smash Brothers between everybody type of way.
Yeah,
one
right.
sort of cross everybody, you know, bout.
Yeah, right.
Real NWO shit.
I would really like to see like... when Mario Odyssey was being teased and they were showing off stuff of New Donk City, I really thought, oh, Donkey Kong is going to be in this.
Yeah. Mm.
That'll be cool.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was going to factor in a bit more, and it did. Like, I would like to see a bit more. I know they have Smash and they have Mario Kart, but actual kind of...
But for Donkey Kong to come back to Mario...
Exactly. Like,
for a lot of those others to end up in Mario Kart too.
Hmm?
A lot of like Kirby and whatever to be in Mario Kart. Make Mario Kart the same as Smash Brothers, where like who cares who's in this?
Yeah, yeah, and have courses themed on it. Yeah, I've seen that said a bit that it's like they should almost just not call it Mario Kart anymore and it just be like Nintendo Kart or whatever and have
Labo Kart
themed on it. Yes. And it's you make a Billy Kart yourself out of cardboard and then you push it down a hill and the Switch is docked at home and just on the screen is text saying you are a fuckhead.
The HD rumble really feels like you're scraping your knee on the tarmac.
Yes. Ooh. I have a scar on my hand from a Billy Cart stack that I took when I was a young boy.
That's cool. Billy Cart stack.
It's my rap.
Well,
it'd be a country name. What hey, what's up? I'm Billy Cart Stack, the worst rapper in the world.
Hey, he'd probably be in Kid Rock's gang.
Yeah, that's true. Kid Rock is technically a rapper.
I mean, you guys keep thinking of games that already have like rosters of characters. I remember back in the day really liking the idea of Mass Effect and Star Wars crossing over.
Mm.
I feel like that was floated at some point, obviously because BioWare made Knights of the Old Republic and Mass Effect.
Whenever I hear that sort of stuff, though, it's always the goofiest way of it happening, like somebody accidentally warp jumping somewhere and then like, who the fuck is this guy? And it's Luke Skywalker and he's like, who are you?
Which is exactly what's happening in the comics right now.
Right.
Watchmen and DC are crossing over in Doomsday Clock, and it's awful.
Right.
It's Thor and the Guardians of the Galaxy in that trailer for the other thing as well. Just like, who are you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's any kind of like supernatural themed stuff where they feel like they have to have 10 minutes of the characters not getting it because that's how real people would act. It's like, cut to the chase. That's why we're here.
Totally. Yeah. Don't bother. Like, make it so that they've all, like, have...
Just do it 10 minutes later and have it happen off screen.
Inspector Gadget chasing down Hannibal Lecter and never address that they're, like, very different tonally.
Go, Gadget, Fava Beans.
Yeah, just have them act the way they would.
Yeah.
If they were like, I'm in the Hannibal world.
I think the very far-fetched and unrealistic idea I had was that Mass Effect was in Star Wars land because it's like, well, they're just both big space.
The problem with that, though, is that if they met because Star Wars happened a long time ago.
Yeah.
And Mass Effect is in our future.
But a long time ago from when?
Mm.
The films coming out.
It doesn't say that, does it? It doesn't provide explicit context. A long time ago from 1977.
When I wrote this contract, sir, I never specified that I meant in the past from today.
Like, I feel like I'm in a real life Reddit thread. This is intense. Fierce debate.
Incel.
Well, I guess we should wrap it up, hey?
Yeah, I need to leave.
Oh, okay, sure.
No need to let the listeners know that.
Mm.
I've got things going on, everybody. Got to go on holiday with my girlfriend.
That's right.
He actually just shit himself, so he has to go change.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening once again. As always, please let us know your thoughts on anything gaming-related. Even if we don't read them out on the show or immediately reply, we do read everything that comes through.
Yep.
Filthycasuals.com.au is where you can find links to all our socials, our Patreon, if you would like to support us each month. We've got a new bonus episode coming out very soon.
Yes.
Well, we'll have to record it very soon and send it out.
Indeed.
We also have comedy festival shows on sale. Chimp Cop, which is Ben and Adam's sketch group.
Yep.
Adam doing solo stand-up and me doing solo stand-up.
I'm going to be in Adelaide and New Zealand in March as well.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
At the same time?
Yep.
Cool.
Wow.
I've learned to vibrate incredibly quickly. Like the Flash. I can go between two different...
I think there's been a couple of members of the Filth say that they are in New Zealand and they'll be trying to see you.
Yeah, we're in Wellington specifically.
Right. Yes, the Filth.
Not bad. Oh, t-shirts as well. We have some new t-shirt designs up on our Redbubble.
If you like the logo, it's on t-shirts and other merchandise.
Mm. So there's a phone case where yes. the hole for the camera just cuts out my eyes and makes me look like a cyclops.
I saw that they let you do sheets, and we should do a watermelon something.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yes, we should.
We can do sheets, so we should do a watermelon something. Not necessarily a sheet, just something.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks so much for listening. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
Nintendo Labo, I barely know ho.
And you can't take that again.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. It's not optional. You have to do it. We used to go easy on it, but now you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.